resurrection, when Jesus is appearing to those first disciples. These are important stories because they provide for us the firm foundation of our faith. Now, we need to think about this a bit, because Jesus is doing this for his disciples, but equally he's doing it for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe in ghosts. Maybe not the spooky kind that we see at Halloween time, but somehow spirits are all around us. Manifestations of being. All you need to do is to remember a fond pet of yours that you had with you for a long time. In our household, we had a few pets, and most recently, we said goodbye a couple of years ago now to our cat, whose name was Bitty. Bitty lived to be 24 years old, which means that, given the history of my immediate family now, it was that cat, Bitty, she was there from the time that I moved into this area and was in our household that whole time. So there was not a time that I lived in central Pennsylvania where Bitty was not part of my life. In fact, she was like the furniture that we always had. And indeed, when we moved from one house to another and the furniture came with us, obviously, so did Bitty. In the meantime, we got another cat, a dog. Some of you met him before, just as I came to St. Luke several years ago. And he too has since gone, as they say, over the Rainbow Bridge. But he wasn't, he didn't have a longevity of Bitty. And so it came to be that every time that Bitty got sick, we thought it was the end, we'd take her to the vet, and we had a marvelous vet who seemed to bring her back from the dead. Until one day, we realized this is the end. And it was good for her that it was the end, because it just was now too much to bear. And I tell you that because even to this very day, it's been, I think, about 3 years since Bitty died. Not a few days go by where I don't run around the corner in a house and suddenly wonder whether she is underfoot. And many times, out of the corner of my eye, I might see a shadow or a passing like a light or something, whatever it is, and I sort of go back to that sense that there she is, ready to get under my feet again. That tends to do that, especially when you're carrying bags of groceries and things. And then to top it off, we have an ornament in our house. It's almost the same size as she was. Cat, made of cast iron, and it's a black cat, just like her, and it's a doorstep. Well, we still keep it, but we kind of hidden it, because too often, where it was, I thought she was there. In that sense, there are ghosts. There are things that bring to mind sacred realities that are no longer with us, the people that we are closest to, or even the pets that we love so dearly and so deeply, that insinuate themselves into our lives. Suddenly they depart from us, one day they're there, the next day they're not, but they're always sort of with us, we're always thinking, the mind never quite lets go. And so it's not unusual for these first disciples who have walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, slept with Jesus, listened to Jesus' teaching, watched his miracles being worked for 3 long years. They left everything behind and followed him. It was an intense time that suddenly one day he is there and eating dinner with them, and then the next day he is not. with that when Jesus appears to them after the resurrection. They think he's a ghost, a phantasm, a figment. We do it all the time. When someone we love in our family departs from our life, we're always watching them, waiting for them to come home through the door, around the corner, sit at the table, whatever it is. It took me 3 long years, 5 years, to erase my father's telephone number from speed dial after he passed. So, Jesus comes to them, and well aware that this is probably what they're thinking, he says to them, I'm not a ghost. You know, of course, this is the ancient world. Ghosts were very much a part of people's awareness in those days. He said, I'm not a ghost, don't worry. Look, see. Last week we heard about Thomas and all of his doubting and so on. Luke tells a little different story. He kind of puts that on all the disciples, not just poor Thomas. But they're not quite getting it. They're not quite understanding this. That Jesus is risen from the dead. He is not a ghost. There is the reality of Jesus in the flesh. It is changed and transformed. It is qualitatively different than he was before, but it's still Jesus. And he's there. And he goes so far as to say, give me something to eat. Because if a ghost with something to eat, put it in his mouth and suddenly it'd be on the floor, just drop right through. No, Jesus ate it. And it disappeared, just like any other human being. Jesus was alive. And it is no wonder, too, that they were disbelieving. They were bewildered. And they were in wonderment. How can this be? It only goes to say that when we have these feelings, when we look around ourselves and we see awful things happening, whether it is the death of a beloved pet or someone else becomes ill with a debilitating and even terminal illness, sometimes we just cannot believe that it's happening. These awful things are happening. And eventually somebody will die who's dear to us and we need to let go and say goodbye. We entrust them, as we say, into the hand of the Lord. We say those things, but have we really, except that we're still expecting them to walk through the door, to sit at the table, to pick up the phone? These feelings are real. And so is Jesus coming to us in the flesh. It is in a changed and transformed way. Jesus cannot be physically present in his body as Jesus rose from the dead to each and every human person in the world for generation upon generation through these 2 millennia. And so Jesus did something fantastic. He breathes on them and he tells them to receive the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that was the dynamic power that raised Jesus' body from the dead. Jesus is not simply a disembodied spirit. Jesus is Jesus, the human person who came to live among us in the flesh. And it is the same Jesus that says to us, receive the same Spirit. Let it come into you. Let it seep down into you. Let it insinuate itself into your very fiber of your being, and then realize that I live. And as you live your life day after day, you too will be transformed and changed until that marvelous day when all will be revealed and we will see Jesus as he is. And when we do, that wonderful teaching from one of the ancient patristic teachers of the church, God became a human so that we could become as gods. That process has already begun. The same process that raised Jesus from the dead has already begun. And we say in our statements of faith, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. How that's going to happen, what it's going to concern yourself about that. It is the reality of the life of God in our world. In a way that we can see and touch and smell and love. That is what sustains us. When we have to say goodbye to something or someone we love so dearly. That is what sustains us when we look around the world and it seems to be falling apart at the seams. That's what sustains us when it seems that a tiny little thing called a virus could overcome humanity. Or it seems like that sometimes. And yet it is the Spirit of God that moves us to action. To take care of one another. To do the things that are necessary to overcome this challenge. It is but one more challenge placed before us to remind us that we are not all powerful. And there is but one. As we began this sermon, the one God, living and true, Father, Son, and Spirit. And it is that God that is chosen to dwell in your heart. So that when we look at the world around us, we can be fearful, disbelieving, bewildered, afraid. But it's Jesus who stands before us this day, in the words of sacred scripture, given to us generation after generation, with the witness of the Spirit in each generation for 2,000 years, saying, peace. Be upon you. That peace which originates in the heart, the peace of Christ, which brings healing and wholeness in the face of illness, suffering, and division. That's why we tell this story. So that we will be changed and transformed, very much like Peter was. As we heard in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, that regardless of how he himself was fearful of what he was about to do, he went out and proclaimed Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And in so doing, won for Christ, won for God, a following that has endured in these many years, and now is our responsibility to proclaim that good news that Jesus lives. Christus vincit. Christ has conquered. Christus reigns. That Christ reigns, governs our hearts and our minds and our souls. Christus imperat. That He is the one over all nations. And it is this same one who stands before you today and would say, if he could be with us in the body, see my hands, my feet, give me a drink. Do not be afraid. I'm not some disembodied spirit that will fall away, disappear with the light. I am with you. Always, until the end.